In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to this Epiphany Sunday. Those of you who have followed the star back home to Providence, we appreciate you being here this morning in worship with us. And welcome everyone who's worshiping with us this morning, and hope that you are warmly welcomed by those seated around you as well. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside pew to share any information you would like. If you'd like to be on our Providence publicist or our newsletter mailing lists, please note that as well, and we will make sure that you receive that information about what's happening, which is also available on our website, and stays pretty up to date. So we invite you to do that. We invite everyone to come to Fellowship Hall following the worship service, after which is immediately behind the sanctuary, to share in fellowship with one another. And please wear your name tags. Pastor B is still getting to know people. It feels like she's been here for a long, long time since she's been with us through this Christmas season, but she's still learning names and putting faces together, and we would appreciate it if you would wear your name tags. If you don't have one, anyone can have a name tag, so please make note that you need a name tag, and we'll make sure that you get one. Number of announcements that we want to draw to your attention this morning as we move into a new season of the church year. We will be undecorating the sanctuary this morning after worship from Christmas, and if you can stay around and help a little bit with that, we'd appreciate it, because many hands make light work on that. And Sharon Gibson, our worship committee chair, is in charge, so she will be happy to put you to work. So come see her after worship. The youth and families in the church, or individuals in the church who would like to go to the Providence Bruins game on Friday, are welcome to do so. We do have a few more tickets left. I'm the great broker of tickets, so if you want to come, please see me, and as long as the tickets last, we will be gathering a group to go on Friday. We'll be carpooling from the church at 6. The game starts at 7. Please do save your, or put on your calendar, the dates for the annual meeting, which is at the end of the month on January 26th, as we gather together for brunch. There will be ham and, I believe, beverages provided, but if you could bring a side dish or a dessert to share, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to reflect back on the year past and where we're headed in this year to come. Many thanks to those who are helping to deal with snow around this wonderful corner property that we enjoy these days. Thanks to Dana Harris, our snowblower is up and moving, which makes it a lot easier to shovel ourselves out, and makes it a lot easier for those of you who would like to volunteer to organize the troops as a snow captain to volunteer. So please, if you would like to help and take a week to be kind of figure out when's the optimal time to shovel, see or talk to Ed Fitzpatrick. We are also trying to find a few people who are willing and able-bodied to help shovel out some of our older members who might need assistance. Those are paid or unpaid positions. You can get confirmation credit for that if you do it as a volunteer, if you're a hardy youth, but several people are willing to pay to assist with that. So please let me know if you would be willing to help on that, and we'll get you hooked up with people who hopefully don't live too far away from you. Are there any other announcements this morning as we head into worship? Okay. Let us join then responsively in our call to worship. The Magi came from far away following a star. We come to worship, and the star sheds light on our lives. The Magi brought gifts to offer the child. We have no costly gifts to offer, but we offer our hearts. Shepherds and Magi, the lowly and the wealthy, all were welcome in Bethlehem. We too are all welcome. Let us rejoice and be glad and sing. God is love, and God's love poured out for us is perfected in us by God's love alone. With humble hearts, let us bring our prayers of confession before God as we pray together, first in silence, then confessing together. Together we pray. Merciful God, you have given light to the world in Jesus Christ, but we have preferred to live in darkness. Your justice protects the weak and the distressed, yet we seek the shelter of privilege and power. Your righteousness redeems the poor and the needy, yet we seek the status of wealth and possessions. Your peace upholds the oppressed and the defenseless, yet we seek the security of weapons and retribution. Forgive us our sins and lead us to true repentance, that we may trust you in all things. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, remaining seated, number 2013, Bless the Lord in the small hymnal. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and freed to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another. And, excuse me. New Year cobwebs are gone. So, a couple of concerns to raise to us and joys as we begin, and Pastor B will begin be taking around the microphone. First of all, it's a joy to have in worship with us, sitting in their customary back row seats, Krista Looper and Grace Kim, who have returned for the weekend to visit. So you guys stand. So. It's been wonderful to have them here through this weekend as Grace is back in the country studying in Arizona, and Krista came up from New York City to be with us, former members of this congregation. So welcome back again. Concern and prayers and solicited for all of you, Julie Baldwin fell and broke two bones in her foot. She is going to be off of her feet for 6 to 8 weeks. Those of you who know Julie know that this is going to be really challenging. Those of you who know Julie know that she does a lot of pieces of ministry in the life of this church. So if your New Year's resolution is to get more involved with the church, for the next 6 to 8 weeks, you can experiment with that and see me, and I will find ways to put you to work in those ways. She is in a cast at home and doing pretty well so far, but cards and calls and visits are most welcome to try to keep her off that foot. Other joys and concerns?
I'd like prayers for the Presbytery's Committee on Ministry, which is meeting this Wednesday in Hartford. I also have a joy this weekend. Walter's granddaughter is getting married in New Jersey. So I'd ask blessings on that marriage. It's Katie and Scott, and travel blessings for us.
My joy is that my baby daughter, April, turned 30 this week.
Praise the Lord. O nyakupon, o nyakupon, ade nyina meyiwa ye, ade nyina meda. Awa se unya kupon, unya kupon, ade nyina meyiwa ye, ade nyina meda, awa se. I tell God, thank you, what you have done for me. Because without him, I will not stand up here today. He covered me with your blood. He said, my father is a good father. Hallelujah. So the 2014, we cannot lay with him. Let it be in your heart. It will solve all the problem, all the sickness, everything. He a good father. What you think about him? Pastor Chris, I tell you thank you for your hope and done. Let God bless you with your family and far and near. Thank God. Thank you for everybody, my sister, children, or the choir, the church sister, church brother. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I tell you, thank you. I tell God, thank you for my daughter. God gave him one more year, added to a year. And I tell God, thank you for my family, far and near. Everybody's family, in your hand, Father. 2013, 14, 13 gone with a lot of trouble. Before 2014, we inside with you again. Father, cover up with your blood. Let you walking with us. School children, woman, everything that we put we have on you. Only you can face it for us. Let Jesus face it for you. We can't face it for ourselves. Father, I tell you, thank you. I praise you, now magnify you. Now surrender myself to you again. Let give me more year to follow you. Because only you I know. Only you can solve all the problems. You the doctor, you the everything. Father, I tell you, thank you. Present all the children who are in the church. The time I was in the church, I come to the church, no children. But God bring a children. I say, Father, the child can watch be you. Only human being can watch be you. Bring a children. Let them watch be you. That the one can be okay for you. Father, I tell you, thank you. I praise you and I magnify you. For Christ's sake.
This past week, I visited the Sorvillo family in Connecticut. We've been praying for Rob and Lori, and he's doing really, really well. He came home the weekend before Christmas and was able to spend Christmas with his family after being hospitalized for about 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And he, despite his mobility issues, is doing fantastic, and the family really thanks everyone for all of their prayers to get them through a really difficult time. And we'll need continued prayers as he convalesces at home, as he's going a bit stir-crazy. He's not used to having to be so cooped up, but he's doing well. Thank you.
My prayer is to thank God for my family through 2013, and I continue prayer for my family through this 2014 too. And I need a prayer for my auntie who is very sick. So,
I just want to thank everyone for praying for my mom. We had a good time with my parents in Pennsylvania. She's doing pretty well. And her birthday was on New Year's Day, and I was talking to her, and she was actually saying, well, next year for my birthday, I want to do X, Y, and Z. And I thought that was a really positive thing for her to be thinking I might be around for another year. So next year will be her 75th. And so we're hoping that she can make it to that. Just continue to pray for them to make sure that they keep her oxygen flow 100% all the time, because as soon as that drops, it's trouble. Thank you.
Many thanks to all of you who have been praying for my sister Jen and the loss of her husband Ken. She is doing very well under the circumstances, and I am looking forward to going out next week to help her plan the memorial service for him, and thank you much for your prayers. She has felt them and been surrounded by family and friends through all of this time. Let us pray. God of grace and light, you are ever shining forth for our lives and to bring life to all your people. We give thanks for your strength and power in these days, made clear to us in the birth of a vulnerable child who is God, to remind us that your power appears often in surprising packages. We pray, O Lord, for our world, a world of imperfection, pain, and struggle for so many. Help us to be witnesses of hope in our lives, reflecting your love and grace, seeking to live forth into a new world of justice and peace for all your people. We pray particularly in this rough winter season for those who are homeless, for those who are unemployed and underemployed, those struggling with addictions and mental illness. We pray for our school children and their teachers entering into a new season. We pray for those who are undergoing trials of all kinds. We pray for strength for them in these moments and the perseverance to live forth day by day. For the Kago Machiri family and Ashley in Kenya, for Kojo and Jen, for Vivian's auntie, We give you thanks, O God, for signs of joy and healing in our midst, for the joys of life in safe travels and returns and reunions with families. We pray for Katie and Scott in their wedding next week and for Judy and Walter's travel there next weekend. We celebrate April's 30th birthday and pray for good news in this year to come. We thank you, O God, for this new year, filled with opportunities to remember and be reminded of the grace that you have shown us, for the opportunities that you bring to us forth in this new year. We give thanks for the healing for Rob and the Servillo family in this Christmas together, for Joe's mother and her looking forward into a new year. We pray, O Lord, for those who continue to seek your healing presence, that you would care and share and enable us to reach out in love to those who need assistance in this time. We pray for healing for Julie and for Ray, for Melinda. We pray for the work of our wider church as well, the Committee on Ministry meeting on Wednesday, the work of this church as it continues to move through this time of transition. As we enter, O Lord, into this season of light, may we see your grace and live it forth in family, self, community, and world. Guide us ever into your ways, welcoming the stranger, the visitor in our midst, rejoicing and sharing with one another, and living as the community you call us to be and to bring, in gratitude and in hope, even when days are challenging. We pray, O Lord, this day, in the power of the one who came to earth, who walked with us and leads us always still, renewed at the table, in his ways, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our children are released to their classes at this time, ages 3 through 5th grade downstairs, and the family room is upstairs if you need it for children to run around a little bit during the service.
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is the first reading, Old Testament lesson, Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The New Testament lesson is from Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
Season of Epiphany. It's a big word. And we Presbyterians have not always celebrated Epiphany. But I think it's worth looking at. Epiphany actually starts tomorrow. Tomorrow's actually Epiphany, but, you know, we're going to hurry it up just today. We've been very patient so far. We've had our kings from the Orient sitting over here in the windowsill for all of these weeks of Advent and up until today. And it's the Epiphany season when we're talking about light. So we still have our Advent candles. We still have our lights, our candles here. But we've also added some light up there. Because we are celebrating the light of the world coming in to our lives. And throughout this season of Epiphany, we are going to be talking about each Sunday the various ways we see Christ breaking in to this world of ours. And our readings today, going back to Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Well, it was a pretty dark world for those people. Their lives were shadowed by doubts, by fears. Some of them had stayed in Jerusalem after the defeat, while others had been taken into captivity. And now there were some of them coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. The only problem was that they had hoped for this great flood of new life. Only it was coming back in a trickle. They also did not have the resources they had hoped to have to rebuild Jerusalem. And so in this time when they are saying, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," the people are feeling kind of dark and discouraged. To me, it's a lot like winter in the Northern Hemisphere, where we have an awful lot of darkness in the day. An awful lot of people suffer from seasonal affect disorder. We go around sad. So there's this play during this season of dark and light. To me, it's a lot like a Rembrandt painting. You know, if you look at a Rembrandt painting, there's always one side of a face that's in dark shadow. You can hardly see it. And then the other side has this bright light on it. And I think it's kind of like that this season of the year, but it was like that for these people in Jerusalem at the time that Isaiah wrote. There was a need for this light to shine, for them to have hope again. And so it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." That "for" is like saying, "Because." Because your light has come, you can rise up. It's kind of like when the sun comes up and we have longer days, it's a whole lot easier to get up. I don't know about you, for me it is. I'm a lover of light. I would make a very poor Scandinavian. So I love my light. But I do like the Scandinavian habit of going to sit in the sun and face the sun. And just soak it in. And that's the way I feel about the light of the world that has come. And when this light comes, when finally these people in Jerusalem lift up their heads and look at the light, they see the most amazing thing. They see people coming back into Jerusalem. There's a flood of things to look at. Look around. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. And you're going to rejoice, of course. And the wealth of nations is being brought to you. Flocks of sheep are being brought to you. But it's not to enrich us personally, we folks of Jerusalem. It is so we can praise the Lord. It says, "They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." It's not about enriching selves, humanity. It's about returning to the Lord, the bounty, and glorifying God. And so these people of Jerusalem, will take some of these flocks and they will sacrifice them to the glory of God. And so there's going to be this radiant light in Jerusalem because they're all celebrating God and they're going to bring attract people from everywhere to Jerusalem by their love of God and what God has done for them and their praise for God. And God makes a habit of breaking into the world with bright light. It's a theme we find. The waters hovered over the darkness. The darkness hovered over the waters. We hear in Genesis, right before the creation. And God created the light. And then there was this brilliant star in the sky. Now, these men were used to looking at the stars. So this light that they saw must have been something supernatural. Because otherwise, why would it have gotten their attention? Why would they have left their comfortable homes in the east? Why would they have left their practice of astrology to travel over dangerous roads for 2 years to see where this star led them? And so they left their homes and they traveled. And they finally arrived, not at this manger scene, but to a place where the Christ child was already growing. The family had moved and we're living in a home. But in order to get there, those magi or wise men needed to step out in faith to follow that brilliant light that was God breaking into their world. And God wanted them to do something. So they followed that star, and where did they end up? Asking Herod, of all people, the directions to the place for his rival king. We know they were not Jews because they would have known that the Messiah was to be born in the city of David. Herod himself secretly went and asked his advisors where this Messiah was to be born. And they told him. And this is in a culture where openness is very important. They kept their doors open all day long. They did all of their business out in the public square. So everybody was open to scrutiny. So honesty and openness were important. And yet here we have Herod hiding behind closed doors with his advisors to find out about this Messiah. So he represents a world of dishonesty, corruptness, and these wise men from the east are so naive that they ask Herod, of all people, where the Messiah is to be born. They represent the faith that comes from following the light of God. And Herod represents the darkness of corruption, of an oppressive ruler. They come ready to worship. And as we learn in the next verses, Herod is ready to kill. And these wise men, yet again, are led by God when they are told in a dream of all things, kind of like Joseph, go home another way. Don't go back to Herod. And so they go home by another way. Evil Herod, darkness, the bright star, God's light breaking into the world. The question is, are we ready for that light ourselves? Are we like the Rembrandt painting with that very dark side to us and that very light side? And the light side is ready to embrace and say, yes, God, I'll follow you wherever you take me. And the dark side is saying, I don't know. This looks pretty hard. The bright side is saying, glory to God for all I have. And the dark side says, I did it myself. We are, after all, a nation of self-made people. And we take great pride in accumulating and achieving on our own. So during this season of Epiphany, we should be careful about criticizing people like Herod for their dark side, because we need to look at our own first and say, are we willing to follow that light where God breaks in, even if it's just a little glimmer that suggests maybe we need to step out of our comfort zone and do something different, do something for God, give a little more to the church or to others? Will we follow that light and let it lead us to glorify God in all that we do? And if we do, will we, like Jerusalem, be like a beacon and attract others to the work of God here? Let us pray. God, help us be open to your light breaking into our lives. Help us not to say, oh, no, no, that can't be God, but say, yes, yes, it's God. What do you want, God? Help us to follow you, God, where you would have us go. Amen. Let us affirm our faith together in words from the Confession of 1967. The Lord's Supper is a celebration of the reconciliation of men with God and with one another, in which they joyfully eat and drink together at the table of their Savior. Jesus Christ gave his church this remembrance of his dying for sinful men, so that participation in it, they have communion with him and with all who shall be gathered to him. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. And really it is joyful, even though we seem to take it very solemnly. And they will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table with our Lord in the kingdom of God. On the night that Jesus sat with some of his disciples in Emmaus, after he'd been traveling along the road with them, they didn't recognize him after his resurrection. But he took bread and he broke it, and when he did, they recognized him. So as we come to this table to share this bread and this wine, we are coming to the table where we too shall see our Lord and our Savior. All are welcome. Please come to the table.
Let us join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Will you pray with me? It is truly right
and our greatest joy, O God, to give you thanks and praise, God of majesty and splendor. By your power, you created all that is, making a universe out of chaos and ruling over all things in love. Throughout the ages, you called your people to love and serve you and to be your light to the nations. When we failed you, you did not fail us. We praise you that in the fullness of time you revealed your love by sending your son Jesus to be the light of the world. He came to heal our brokenness and to set before us the ways of justice and peace. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your son, our Lord. He was born to dwell among us full of truth and glory. Baptized by John in the Jordan, he lived for you, spoke your truth, showed your love, and gave himself for others. In his death on the cross, he overcame death. Rising from the tomb, he raises us to eternal life and makes with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you as a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. O God, please pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share in this feast. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, we pray together as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said to his disciples, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, sit at the table and join with our Christ.
Thank you. Christ should be. Let it Christ should be.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts and offerings to the work of the Lord.
Thank you.
O Lord, we dedicate these offerings to you, that these may help spread your light throughout the world, through our community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Into the world in peace and joy to serve our Lord and to celebrate his birth. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen.
Do it for you? Do it.